Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another show of At Home with Victoria, with your host, Victoria Gaither, and co-host, Michael Kay.
Good evening, everyone. 8 o'clock on the East Coast. That means it is time for At Home with Victoria. I am TV journalist Victoria Gaither, and also the one and only entertainment co-host Michael Kay is joining us tonight for At Home with Victoria. Michael, how are you this evening? What's up with you?
I'm doing fantastic this evening. We had a wonderful day here. It was 72 degrees, sunny. I had the windows open, and I actually left the house, so I was very, very proud of me. It's been a great day. You had great weather today, too, though, didn't you?
Actually, yeah, it was sunny outside, and it's interesting because this morning when I got up and kind of did my sort of, you know, check emails, Facebook, fan page, websites, all of that, I posted on my fan page that I wanted everyone across the U.S. to enjoy the sunshine, but I saw on the Weather Channel that folks in Denver were actually still getting snow, and I think like 8 inches of snow they're supposed to get until
wow.
Friday, and it still, you know, blows my mind that just last week I was planting veggies in the garden, and in Denver, Colorado, they're still dealing with snow. It's just weird.
Yeah, no, it's weird. And that global warming thing must be a myth, totally. So, yeah.
Well, but you know, you and I have talked to some folks who believe that there is no such thing as global warming. So, you know, that argument goes. I know it is kind of weird, but that argument goes back and forth. But I think I, like you, we fall on the argument of believing that global warming does exist. So I don't want to get off on a tangent of global warming.
Yeah.
But listen, yeah, we've got a really, really good lineup tonight on the show. So tell us our three guests, and then I think we're going to listen to some music and jump right into it.
Absolutely. I'm thrilled, actually, these three people. Shara Sofity was actually recommended, another Sherry Goldberg referral. She has written, she's a writer and a motivational speaker, a life coach, and has written the book Dating by the Books, One Blundering Singleton's Search for Love in the Self-Help Aisle. It is enlightening, it is entertaining, it is funny, sometimes heartbreaking, but she's going to be here to go ahead and talk all about her new book. Thrilling. I can't wait to talk to her. And then everybody's up in arms now. All My Children and One Life to Live have reentered the global market, actually, but in web format. So executive editor Richard Sims from Soaps and Depths is going to be joining us to give us the 411. Vic, we've met him in New York at the Indie Soap Awards. He's hilarious. He's funny and knows everything all about soaps. And rounding out is Michael Albin. We'll save the funny story about how we met Michael Albin for a little bit later, but he's joining us, actor, model, photographer, and musician. So we're going to start off with a little bit of music.
Music.
Music, there we go, from Michael Albin. This is Hero. When we get back, Sarah Schofferty will be with us.
It makes me sick. It's criminal that you can do all the things you've done. I believed in you, and all you knew was a little planet chasing around your sun.
Yesterday I found it for you, for who you really are. And yesterday I took
And again, welcome back, everybody. That was Michael Albin, who is going to join us tonight. And again, we have a very funny story about how Michael Kay and I had the opportunity to meet him on a bridge in Washington, D.C. But before we get to him, we want to bring Sarah in on the conversation. Now, what's interesting about Sarah, and ladies, I think that you're going to be able to identify with this. It was her 33rd birthday and apparently her 9th without a boyfriend. So Sarah has her in her mind either I'm cursed or worse that she's just not lovable. So I believe as a result of that and some other things taking place in her life, she chronicled a book that's called Dating by the Books. And Sarah, what's interesting, and I always, of course, you know, think about our guest that's going to be on the show that Michael has booked. And I kind of feel like, you know, dating books are really popular right now. I feel like we sort of go through cycles, you know, in America when it comes to the book industry about what books are popular versus what books are not. And I really believe dating books are just so popular right now. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think it's probably because people are having a lot of crappy dating experiences, which, you know, probably has been happening for a long time. There's a lot of dating shows going on in pop culture on television right now. There's The Millionaire Matchmaker. There's Ready for Love. So perhaps there's a link there, perhaps a link to the success of He's Just Not That Into You. I'm not really sure, but I would imagine it's because people are just really pining for information. And, you know, what it was for me that that drew me to the books was thinking, hey, you know, I have never been one really for the women's magazines and the how-to guides and self-help. But when you find yourself in a pinch for a long time and you're not getting what you want, you realize that they may know something that you don't. So I would imagine that's why people are hitting the bookshelves.
Yeah. Absolutely. Michael?
Yeah. Sarah, welcome to Homeless Victoria, and welcome to your first time here. I'm one of many. I hope to have you on. But you've tried everything from online dating to speed dating to meet market adventures, single rodeos night. I applaud your efforts, and basically you are the dating hero in my eyes because, like I said, the book is hilarious. Many interesting tales that you have. What would be the worst online dating story? There are so many right now. I have so many friends either on Match.com or Plenty of Fish, and then I have some friends on Grindr, which is a totally different thing whatsoever. But what was some of your online dating experiences like?
Well, the funniest one that I can recall is that one, I tried several different services, some of the mainstream ones, eHarmony, Match. There was one called Nerve.com, not sure if that's still around. And then none of them had really worked. And then it was a snowy Sunday afternoon several years ago, and I was home alone just kind of pittering around on the Internet, and I saw something called, oh, gosh, I might not be able to remember the name right now, Fitness Singles, fitnesssingles.com. Mm-hmm. And it was all, you know, I'm a very active person and into exercise, so I was like, oh, okay, so maybe I'll find someone who also likes scuba diving and hiking and all this sort of thing. And one of the first people that responded to me, I had uploaded a photo, you know, I had like a headshot and then one that I had called Body Shot, but I didn't know that the name Body Shot had actually uploaded to the site. And one wonderful young man wrote me a note and said, oh, great body shot. I'd like to do a body shot off of you. And that was his first interaction with me. And it's like, okay, delete. And I didn't stay long on that site.
Delete? Woman, that's a perfect opportunity, you know. The quest for love really transcends from women to men as well. I mean, I have my husband passed in August, and I'm slowly just trying to get out there just to meet other people. I work from home and stuff. I have a nice core thing of friends, but my funniest online dating experience was this one individual who claimed to be from an hour away, who was Greek and, of course, 6 foot tall, very handsome, and I thought, wow, fantastic, until he phoned me and wanted me to send him a phone to Istanbul. And yeah, so if that ain't a red flag whatsoever, I don't know what is. But yeah, so many downfalls and pitfalls. But Vic comes over to my house and we watch the Craigslist ads and stuff, which is hilarious. Some
oh
of the
my
people
gosh.
Who are looking for stuff on there, I don't know if you troll that, but Vic had some good comments about it.
Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, Sarah Michael is one of those things where I'm in a relationship, so that, you know, that world is just not in my forefront of dating and all of that stuff. So, of course, because Michael is sort of, you know, putting his toe into the dating pool, I'm always interested in, you know, his escapades and who he wants to see or people that are interested in him. And I'm kind of like his big sister, so I'm nosy and I want to give my opinion and my advice. And Sarah, it amazes me, you know, from the pictures to the descriptions to the information to, you know, to exactly people being straightforward and exactly saying what they want. And a lot of that when it comes to the dating scene, that just blows my mind. Now, I always knew, and just as a journalist, and I've done stories on it before, that online dating was really, really big. But it wasn't until, you know, my experience with Michael in realizing that, you know, online dating is just huge and that there are, you know, a lot of marriages and people that do date as a result of online dating. So, I mean, I certainly see that is going to continue to be the future when it comes to it, because I guess you're sort of traditional bars or meeting someone through a friend, you know, just it's not always a good option in terms of meeting someone. But I do have a question for you, and this is a young lady who emailed me who is listening right now from New York City, and she wants to know, did you ever find love?
Oh, well, you have to read the book to find out. No.
I know the answer.
yes, I did. I did. And it was a process. You know, in writing this book, what I did was I followed sort of a formula, for lack of a better word, of using a dating book a month over the course of a year. And certain months I read more than one book. Some months I might have fudged it a little bit and not taken all of the advice because I didn't think it was good advice or I just didn't have time. So I had some early success with trying some different tips and tricks. And, you know, there's some really interesting things you can do that I never knew, like just using body language, different ways to flirt and the importance of flirting and initiating conversation with other people rather than waiting for it to come to you, different ways you can attract attention to your quote-unquote product yourself. I was trying all of this stuff that I hadn't really tried before, and I had some early success. And then everything, you know, the proverbial, you know what, hit the fan, and things started going downhill. And it wasn't until around month 7 or 8 when instead of focusing maniacally on the pursuit of a man, which I maybe kind of had been for the first several months, I took my foot off the gas pedal and I was like, okay, nothing's working. I'm getting myself all worked up that it's not working. And I think I just need to get back to me, to get back to what brings joy to me and what are some of the, you know, basically just get my mojo back, because I had backed myself into a corner where I was feeling really downtrodden about dating. And so what I did was I had this month where I just made it all about me, all about all of doing every single activity that I loved, and booking a trip to go hike the Inca Trail to Machu Picchu, and just me. And and I think it's no coincidence that once I took it upon myself to really rejuvenate and really get my sense of joy and happiness back with or without a man, that I ended up meeting someone. And I will say, you know, it's a fine line. I tell women, you know, in my coaching practice and just girlfriends and whoever, that it's not, I don't believe that you can just sit back and wait for it to happen. That old adage, it happens when you least expect it. I don't really believe that. I think that can happen in your younger years. And then once you've been dating for a while and you've kind of settled into your patterns, you actually really need to put some work into it, put some elbow grease into it. So what I did was, even though I was not, going to be super upset if I never found a man, I was still looking. And I asked a male coworker if he had knew any good guys. And that's how I ended up meeting my husband. So that's a way that I really, really advocate for other people, to make sure that they're asking around. Don't be embarrassed. Like, this is your life. You could meet your future life partner. Ask the people you know to set you up and to ask you out to parties and things like that, because that's what worked for me.
And, you know, I do feel exactly what you said, that getting back to the point about, you know, once you're out there taking care of yourself and sort of doing things that you need to do and rediscover yourself, then I really do think that, you know, you kind of take that focus off of, you know, I'm trying to find this man, I'm trying to find somebody to date, and then you're able to focus more on yourself. And I kind of think that opens up, you know, opportunities for other people, you know, positive to come into your life.
Exactly, and it makes you more attractive, because as someone who is really, really focused on, you know, it's like, oh, my God, if I don't find someone, I'm going to shrivel up and die and my life will be horrible. That's not attractive. And whether you're saying it or not, it's broadcasting that message in one way or another, whether you're actually saying it or not, which, of course, you're not saying it. But through body language and nonverbal communication and just comments that you make, the message comes across that you're unhappy alone, and that's not attractive. So the best, you know, some of the best advice I can give people is, do your life, you know, enjoy your life, do whatever it takes to get your sense of self and joy and happiness in high gear, and then go out and hit the dating scene, and you'll probably have a lot better luck.
Yeah,
I agree, Michael.
Confidence and a good sense of self, I find to be sexier than anything. But you also have straightupyou.com, which I visited today, a fantastic page for really self-empowerment. Give us a quick little rundown of what that's about.
Sure. Straight Up You is life coaching. It's career and dating coaching that I provide primarily, but not exclusively, for women. And it's really about taking charge of your life, getting in the driver's seat, rather than, you know, sitting around and waiting for life to happen to you. It's clearing out all of the sort of negative or limiting patterns, beliefs, that might be in the way of you having what you want, because this is work that I did for myself, and it's work that I really enjoy helping other women create, rather than saying, oh, woe is me, and this isn't happening, and my life sucks. It's not a good way to live your life, and you actually don't have to. So my coaching and speaking is all about women helping themselves to get to a place where they actually create from scratch exactly what they want.
Right.
And Sarah, I just so agree with every single thing that you're saying, and I know a large portion of our listeners, which are women, are sitting at home shaking their heads and agreeing as well. We are running out of time with you, but I would like to know how our listeners and our fans can continue to follow you, and also how we can get a copy of your book.
Sure, absolutely. So there's my website, Straight Up You. There's also a Facebook fan page, so I'd love if people like the page. It's Straight Up You. And also they can find me on Twitter at Straight Up You. Surprise, surprise. And people can buy the book. It's available two ways. If you're an e-copy kind of guy, it's on Amazon for immediate download, and you actually do not need a Kindle, so it's just electronic. And then there's also, if you come to my website, on the home page, there's a place that you can click to order a printed copy as well.
Okay, great.
So it can all happen at Straight Up You. Would love to see, would love to connect with anyone who's interested in what I'm saying.
And also, Michael and I did put that information inside the chat room, and when the show is over, we will post it on all of our social networking sites. So you guys will certainly be able to find her. Michael, great guest. And Sarah, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us this evening.
Thank you so much, Victoria and Michael.
Thanks a lot, Sarah. Absolutely. You take care. The book is not only for women. The book is for men, too. Seriously, the book is really hilarious, so you'll go ahead and love it. Dating by the Books is available at Amazon.com right now, actually. Coming up next, Richard Sims from Soaps in Depth. Right before, we're going to listen to more of Michael's album. This is New York City. Don't go away. Richard Sims is in the house. Richard Sims from Soaps in Depth. Richard Sims, welcome to your first time on At Home with Victoria. I'm pleased and pleasantly happy that you joined us tonight. How are you, buddy?
Well, first of all, thanks for having me. Second of all, wow, that is an awesome song. Really,
it is, isn't it?
I feel terrible because, okay, first of all, I'm following that awesome song. Second of all, if you look on the website at the pictures as they're going by, I feel so bad. Like you got that scary picture of me, and then you got like handsome Michael Albin. I'm like, man, I'm between a rock and a hard place tonight.
You're a funny guy.
I try.
Yes, he is.
How you doing, buddy? Lots of things happening in the world of soaps and everything.
Such
everybody's
a huge week. Such a
absolutely.
Huge week.
Absolutely. Everybody's buzzing about AMC and One Life to Live reappearing again. Please give us the exact information, because I'm getting cross messages that it's actually available only on the web. Is that true?
Well, it depends. And I think that's one of the problems is that there's – first of all, there's been misinformation put out there, but there's also just – there's different ways of viewing depending on how you're going to do it. Here's the basic scoop. All my children on One Life to Live came back on Monday. They were canceled, you know, about a year ago, a little over a year ago by ABC. This production company, Prospect Park, stepped in and said, we're going to pick it up. We're going to – you know, we're going to bring it back, and we're going to bring it back on the web. And shortly into their effort, it all fell apart. And they didn't have financing, and it just all fell through, and it became, you know, it just didn't work. And many people, myself included, I have no problem admitting, said, okay, that's it. They're dead in the water. They're not coming back. You know, forget it. Somehow they kept working behind the scenes, and miraculously were able to, you know, they got financing, and then what really I think helped cinch the deal was that they signed on with Hulu. Anybody who watches TV on the internet knows there's a couple different choices. You know, you can usually go to, like, say, Lifetime.com or ABC.com, but Hulu is just this amazing portal. It doesn't have all shows, but it has a really huge selection of them, including General Hospital and Days of Our Lives. And Prospect Park was able to arrange a deal with them. So here's what it is viewing-wise. You can go to Hulu.com on your computer, and you can watch them on your computer. That's what I do. I tend to watch them around 11 o'clock in the morning, and I live tweet them. Well, not live, because, you know, when it's on the internet, it's not really live.
Right.
But I live tweet them while watching on Hulu. But you can also, if you buy a – that's for free. Hulu is completely free. You can watch it on your computer, no problem. Where people are getting confused is there's also – you can watch them on, say, your smartphone or even on your TV if you have an internet-equipped television set. But that's only available through Hulu Plus. And Hulu Plus is a subscription service. That's $7.99 a month, which is – it's actually a pretty good service. I've had it for years. But that's where some of the confusion is coming in. You can – basically can turn your TV or your computer into sort of a DVR. Like, if you want to wait and watch all the episodes on Saturday, you still can. It's kind of awesome. They're doing 4 episodes a week of each. They're a half hour instead of an hour. And on Fridays we haven't seen what the first one's going to look like yet, because this is the first week that the show returned. But on Friday – they're going to do sort of a half hour for each show that's a combination recap show and, like, fun behind-the-scenes stuff. So that's kind of the deal.
Well, thank God, because I was getting so confused. Are you noticing – it's been on for 1 week now. Have you been noticing anything different in the production values from prior?
The biggest difference honestly, the biggest difference is twofold. One is it's a half hour, which I really like. I'm a big fan of the half-hour format. I don't think people have 5 hours a week to carve out for a show. I just don't think we live in that day and age anymore. And, you know, that's one of the reasons I've loved that The Bold and the Beautiful, after over 25 years, has still not expanded to an hour. It's perfect as a half hour. The other, the big difference is they swear, and they swear a lot. not quite as much on my beloved web soap, Divanity, which I absolutely love. They swear.
Oh, guilty pleasure.
They really do swear a lot on Divanity, and I love
that
as well.
I like to call Divanity Dynasty with dirty words. That's how I always describe it. They don't swear quite that much on, but they are. There is a distinct feeling of them being more mature, both in the language that they're using and even the storytelling. There's already, we're only, like, you know, we've seen 3 episodes so far, but there's definitely a feeling that these ain't your grandma's soaps. They're a little bit faster. They're a little bit more mature. There's a little bit of, you know, not full on nudity or anything, but, you know, we've seen some side butt and stuff. So,
Richard, I wanted to ask you, because, again, I was telling Sarah, who was on earlier, I'm always, of course, thinking an hour before the show, you know, questions that I want to ask. And I'm always interested in people like you. How did you become interested in the world of soap operas?
You know, like a lot of people, I kind of became interested because of my mom and my grandma, and, you know, because they watched. And the funny thing is, when I was a kid, that was during the heyday of Luke and Laura. You know, everybody knew who Luke and Laura were, whether you watched soaps or not. I mean, they were on the cover of Newsweek.
Yeah.
Everybody knew who they were. And at the time, I distinctly remember this was right around the time when Luke raped Laura. And this was very, you know, kind of shocking, mature content for even for soaps at the time. And my mama did not want me watching this. And so I would sit in the room and pretend to be reading. And I don't think my mom ever caught on to the fact that I was actually, you know, the book I was reading was upside down and probably wasn't even open. I was totally – so I sort of – for as long as I can remember, I have loved, loved, loved this genre. And when they started Soaps in Depth magazine back in January of 1997, I was lucky enough that despite having no experience in magazines, someone knew of my interest, knew that I had written some stuff for a small local newspaper, put my name in, and, you know, for 17 years now, I've been living just the most amazing dream job.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
awesome.
I can imagine too. You've been with Soaps in Depth for 17 years, or
Yeah, I started on. I don't know why I know this. I started on January 13th, 1997.
Wow.
That was when we launched the magazine. At the time when we launched, we had three editions. We did an ABC edition, a CBS edition, and an NBC edition. But NBC over time lost their shows. They got down to two, then they got down to one. And that was even before, like, you know, the big, you know, sort of every soap on the air being canceled. So we dropped the NBC edition, and now we do two editions, CBS and ABC. And even those, there's a little crossover, because with only two soaps on CBS and one soap on ABC, it's a little bit hard to fill the pages. So we do some crossover.
Yeah. Yeah, no, for those who don't know, Richard Sims and I have met a few years now at the Indie Soap Awards in New York City, honoring the best in web series content, which, Richard, with your strong corporate ties, I really applaud you for coming out for the little guy with no budget and supporting them like you do in your magazine. I've seen write-ups on Pretty with Jeannie Francis, with a few of their other guest actors, and your support of Divanity, which I will have to say, one of my super faves. You mentioned recently about nudity and everything. I don't know if you happened to go ahead and check out a few of the web series after you got home, but I checked out Hunting the Series, and this will be a disclaimer, actually. It's an adult-rated web series. There is extreme nudity. There is extreme content. Do you find that has a niche market or a place right now, or do you think people still want to go ahead and explore the commercial side of classic storytelling, Richard?
Well, I think above all, storytelling comes first. It doesn't matter if you swear, it doesn't matter if you have nudity, it doesn't matter if you have, you know, tap dancing pornography. If it's not on the page, it's not on the stage, as they say. And I think, you know, that is always primary to me. You know, like I look at, for example, I look at something like Divanity and I say, you know what, if they took out the swearing, it would still be a fun show. It would still be,
true.
You know, I'd still enjoy the characters. I enjoyed One Life to Live and All My Children for many, many years without the swearing. It's a little bit weird. Like yesterday, one of the characters who's been on One Life to Live for years and years and years dropped a dirty word, and it was sort of took you aback for a minute, because, you know, I've been watching these shows for decades and you've never heard this kind of thing before. But it's one of the problems that soaps kind of fell into a few years ago and they've gotten out of now is they sort of went through a period where they tried stunts. And if something comes off as a stunt, it doesn't work for the audience. But if it's used well, if it's used naturally, for example, on All My Children yesterday, they had some of their young characters, they were on Facebook and they were talking and they were swearing a little bit. And it sounded completely natural because that's how kids talk. And
right.
So I think it's the next step. I actually think everything about All My Children and One Life to Live are the next step in soap operas. I mean, I think the internet is the next step for television. And I, you know,
yeah.
Soaps have been on the – people like to, you know, sort of mock soaps and shove them aside and think of them as, you know, the poor man's entertainment kind of thing. But in reality, soaps have been on the cutting edge from the beginning. When they started on radio, then they kind of burst onto the television scene. And so now, you know, this is a great time for these shows in particular to be going to the internet. When you look at some of the stuff that, like, Netflix is doing with Hemlock Grove and bringing back Arrested Development, clearly the internet is sort of, you know, where it's the future of television.
And I agree. And Richard Michael and I, with Steve Silverman and a lot of people within the web industry, I mean, every single year we do countless shows on that topic, and we talk a lot about it. And I, you know, just firmly believe as a journalist at the internet that it is, you know, it is the next television. And in fact, if you look at any statistics and numbers within my industry, there are more people that get their news and information from the internet, from their telephones, from their iPhones, than they do coming home and turning on a regular television set. I mean, especially for the younger generation, that just simply doesn't exist anymore. And the other thing that I wanted to mention when you were talking about, you know, soap operas, it kind of ran across my mind that soap operas have really set, in some cases, have been ahead of policy issues in America. Soap operas have really been on the forefront and cutting edge when it comes to issues in America. I mean, I can remember growing up and, you know, my mom and grandmother and you know, their girlfriends, you know, having discussions about when, you know, in a soap opera that there was a first African-American who kissed a Caucasian. There was a first soap opera, you know, where actually two men kissed. So it is interesting how some people, you know, sort of, I don't want to say downplay soap operas, but, you know, I'm no history major. You probably know more about this because you follow and write and report on the industry. But soap operas really have helped change and set policy in America.
Without a doubt. And I think that's more, it doesn't happen quite as much now as it did then. But, you know, there are so many examples. I remember one of the first stories I ever saw unfold on One Life to Live was the story of this woman named Carla, who was a very light-skinned black woman who was passing herself off as white. And her mother was furious about this, and she fell in love with both, I think it was I don't remember if they were both doctors, but there was a white guy and a black guy that she was dating. And, you know, this is in, like, you know, late 60s, you know, maybe early 70s.
Right.
It was incredibly controversial, but it really, you know, like it's sort of weird to think that even just in the span that soaps have been on the air, there was a time when, you know, we think we're such a progressed nation. We think we're so, you know, forward thinking, but just within the span of the last 20 years, a story about a woman passing herself off as being white was controversial. You know, that's kind of crazy to me.
Yeah, no,
a lot of crazy things. Real quick, I want to go to your thoughts on General Hospital's, I think, was it their 50th anniversary special?
They just celebrated their 50th anniversary. April 1st was their
right.
Technical 50th anniversary. And they've really been celebrating for, instead of just making it, like, a lot of times with anniversaries like this, they do one special episode, you know, and they're like, okay, we're going to pack everything into this special episode. General Hospital's been doing, really, for the last 6 months and still going on now, they've been bringing back all kinds of fan favorites. You know, Jack Wagner came back as Frisco, and Jeannie Francis is back as Laura, and Finola Hughes is back as Anna, and Ian Buchanan is back as Duke. And people who grew up on the show are just like, you know, their eyes are bugging out every day because it's like watching the same show you fell in love with 20 years ago.
Yeah.
The one thing I do want to say is I was a little surprised and kind of distressed today. The Daytime Emmy nominations came out, you know, which is always a big deal. It's you know, it's the biggest event in soaps and daytime talk shows and things. And I, along with a lot of other people, were really surprised by how much love General Hospital wasn't shown. You know, I mean, they got a best writing nod and they got a best show nod, but there really weren't as many acting nominations as a lot of us expected. It was sort of surprising. Although I must say, every year the Emmy nominations, like with every other award nomination, just leave everybody scratching their head, like, who the heck comes up with this? You know, where did these nominations come from?
No, absolutely. We actually had Lee Philip Bell on, wife of William J. Bell, writer of The Young and the Restless, and she was so wonderful. The autobiography is out, actually, creator of The Young and the Restless and The Bold and the Beautiful. Did you happen to go ahead and read that at all, Richard?
Well, not only did I read that, that was written by one of my staffers, Michael Moore.
Which is why I'm bringing it up, little lady.
Yes, he is one of my staffers. It's a great book. I was actually jealous of him because he had, you know, unparalleled access. He actually, he's been friends with the Bells for years, but he was actually allowed to read the original Bible. A Bible is basically what you sit down with before the show begins. You sit down and you plot out the first, you know, like basically the history of the town and what the population of the town is and all this. And he actually was able to sit down in the Bell family home and read Bill Bell's original Bible, and
wow.
I would kill or die. I would kill or die to sit and see that.
Absolutely. Richard, we're running out of time with you. Can you give us any spoiler alerts, anything to look out for that normally we should not know, but you have secret privy information to and you're willing to go ahead and share it with our listening audience?
Sure, why not? I mean, you know, it's what the heck. There's one of the big stories on The Young and the Restless right now is that Michael's wife, Lauren, has been having an affair with this super hot bartender named Carmine, super hot. And she is about to be so busted, and this whole marriage is just going to, you know, explode next week. And it's been a really – what's been interesting about this is it's been really well done, like kind of portrait of a marriage kind of thing, much more in-depth relationship than you see on modern soaps a lot right now. The other big thing is that General Hospital is right now they're about to reintroduce Sonny's son, Morgan. The last time we saw Morgan was like, you know, 4 years old or something. Well, he's coming back, you know, a teenager who's in all kinds of trouble. And the three people who were written off General Hospital, Roger Howarth, Kristen Alderson, and Michael Easton, who were written off the show because of this whole lawsuit between ABC and Prospect Park, are coming back starting the end of next week, but it's all very mysterious. Nobody knows. I mean, I know, but I'm not allowed to say. But they're coming back as all new characters, and I will tell you this, once they hit the airwaves, are people going to be talking, because it's going to be controversial.
Can't wait.
Ooh, well, thank you. Everyone, Richard Sims is joining us, and we've got his website and all of his information inside the chat room, so make sure you follow him on Twitter. Richard, darling, we always appreciate your time and just love that, you know, that you love what you do so much, and just keep up the great work, my friend.
Thanks for having me.
Can't wait to see
you,
Richard. Take care. I'll call you when I get to New York.
Okay.
Okay,
that sounds like something to all of you entertainment industry folks say, I'll call you when I get to LA. I'll call you when I get to New York. Michael, one thing I wanted to mention that Richard actually has in his website, Ashley Jones, who was on At Home with Victoria last week with Brooke Burke, they were in A Sister's Revenge that was on a Lifetime original movie. I did not want to let this sort of entertainment section go by without not mentioning that. You and I got a chance to watch them on television, and I think Ashley Jones, according to Richard's website, is going to do a reprising role as Bridget on The Bold and the Beautiful beginning on Wednesday, May the 22nd, so you guys should check that out.
Yeah, fantastic. That was a great show, Sister's Revenge on Lifetime, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. It actually got really good reviews from the New York Times, so I'm really thrilled. Want to mention really quickly, too, happy birthday goes out to Barbie Caruso from Divinity, and also second cousin, well, Steve's second cousin, Tim McGraw's birthday is today, so happy birthday to both those people. We have Michael Albin sitting in queue. So I'm so excited, Vic, because the song, next song I'm going to play is actually from Razorblade City. It is a departure from what you've been listening to. So everybody, this is Michael Albin with No X, No Sex. When we get back, Michael Albin is in the house. Joining us to the show. Welcome to At Home with Victoria, your first time here. Michael Albin, I would like you to convey the story of how you met Victoria and I. I would love to get your point of view because, of course, I was, you know, a little bit into Southern comfort at that point. So I think it would be interested to get it from your point of view, my friend. How are you? Welcome to the show.
I am well. It's great to be here. You guys have such a great show. I'm really enjoying it. And I have to thank Richard for the props, if he's still out there listening. He's welcome to submit my name to Allison Goodman at the One Life to Live show anytime he wants to.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so what you're telling me, Michael, is that you don't recollect that well from the SoCo?
Well, I certainly do. Thank God there's photo recollections. I mean, there's certain things that jog my memory. But I'm curious just to get it from your point of view as to how you had two people accost you on a bridge, on the Key Bridge in off Georgetown in D.C.
Well, you know, I got to tell you, I thought to myself, I'm like, I wonder if, you know, someone's going to stop me from taking pictures from this bridge, that maybe I look suspicious there in D.C. You know, they have all the the presidential flyovers of the Key Bridge. I'm like, is there someone watching me? And it really was just, you know, I take the bus back from New York. I live in New York during the week and then come back to D.C. on weekends typically. And my bus normally lets me off in my neighborhood, which is the Palisades, if you guys are familiar with that. But this driver took a different route, which meant I had to go all the way to Rosalind. So I thought to myself, well, I can get a cab, or it's a nice night, maybe I'll take some pictures from the bridge. So long story short, I'm taking pictures from the bridge, and this very happy couple walks up to me having a great time and says, hey, can you take our photo? And, of course, you know, always trying to be the professional, I'm trying to get the right shot and make sure that the lighting from the bridge doesn't get in the way of the shot. And so we got an okay shot with the little baby camera that we had, the digital camera that you guys had. But then we got a little bit better one with my 35 digital. So.
Well, and Michael, it was really interesting because as Michael Kay and I were walking on the bridge, in my mind I kept thinking, oh, you know, it would really be nice if Michael and I can have a shot, this sort of night shot with the lights and the city in the background with Arlington. Because, you know, we're rarely in the same place at the same time that we can make this happen. It just doesn't happen like this for us all the time. And then I saw you, and the reason why you caught my eye, of course, Not because you're tall and you're handsome and you're thin and you're gorgeous. And I thought, who's this hot
going,
guy?
But by all means.
You
know,
that's why I stopped.
The real reason why you caught my eye, because you look like a professional photographer. I mean, you had your camera, you had, like, your gear with you. So I'm thinking to myself, as a journalist and as a news person, you know, this is our opportunity to get, like, a real person who really looks like he knows what he's doing to take this picture that I really want of Michael and I. So, Michael, what was it from your perspective, Michael?
Well, first of all, let's mention, too, that I am an actor. So I play a photographer, but I can't say that I am one.
Well, that's a funny story, because we got home from Sip of Socialites, a wonderful event up in D.C., and then we went to see David Andrew Smith at Clyde in Georgetown, legendary, ran into you. And then so I get back to the hotel, and I'm inputting, both Victoria and I are inputting all of our new contacts and everything like that. So you give me your card, I go ahead and put it in, I Google you, and all of a sudden it comes up, holy crap. You were in House of Cards with Kevin Spacey, and I thought, how bloody random. Tell us about that experience.
Yeah, definitely random, for sure. You know, it was great. I think, first of all, I mean, you know, you were talking with your last guest, Richard, about the move towards web-based television. Mm-hmm. And the series, as we know, was Netflix's first foray into online programming. So they really have put quite a bit of money and time into it, and when it came out, I guess it was 1st of February, the entire series was available for download at the same time, which I think is, you know, not available on every site with some of these shows. But I had read online, and I don't know who's tracking this or who said it, but that it was the most watched show in the world that week, which,
wow.
You know, I think the gamble paid off. Needless to say, they're filming season two, and certainly it's great for the area, the Mid-Atlantic, where it's shot there, mostly in Baltimore and D.C. They have a soundstage just north of Baltimore in Aberdeen, the home of Cal Ripken Jr.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a great experience, incredible set. The writing is fantastic. If your listeners have not checked out the show, I highly recommend they do, and if they look at season one, episode 9, I can say that. Episode 9, they will find me as Hank, the vice presidential senior staffer.
And the framing and shots are really quite good, too. You have a couple films coming out, and we have one film coming out. It's right now in post-production, Worlds Within. Let's go to a little bit of an audio clip from Worlds Within. This is Michael Alvin. Don't go away.
I'm sorry to leave you like this, Thomas. I know it hasn't been easy sticking by me these days, but this tape is all I can leave you with. I know you'll understand. You'll understand what's happened to me. Is there really somewhere between lives? Somewhere I can be whole again? I think I found Alma, and I won't leave her again. Not when I have a chance to hold her, make up for the time we've lost. I just had to follow the signs.
Well, that brought everybody down.
Absolutely. Wow. All Worlds is actually in post-production. When does that due out?
I think they're looking probably sometime around summer at this point. A young filmmaker named Patrick Kiley, who I actually met on House of Cards. And he had the script, and, you know, it's very obviously dark and heady, and but a really neat piece. And the entire film is a voiceover of my character, Henry Walton, Dr. Henry Walton. He's a psychiatrist, and who has just lost his wife. And so this is a tape that his coworker is listening to throughout the film that he's left for his coworker. And it's a really neat piece. So I'm very excited about it. We did some great work on it, and you know, had some crazy things that that the director came up with, almost like Clockwork Orange type of thing, you know. we're filming these very strange sequences, but again, since it's a very visual picture, since it's just a voiceover, you know, he really went for some crazy effects and stuff, and it's like I said, I'm excited. It was a great project to be a part of.
Yeah.
And
you also go ahead, Vic.
Go ahead. No, you go ahead.
I was just going to mention, you mentioned Clockwork Orange and stuff. You did a film called Gathering Souls, which I did watch some of it online, and actually I'm looking forward to watching the whole thing, but here's a little audio clip of that. Don't go away.
Sure.
We're back. Did you miss us?
Damn, that shit smells divine.
You're probably wondering what we want.
Things are confused. Let's make it easy for them. We'll be taking your souls.
Why, thank you. I'm much obliged.
Joan, baby. See, right here's about where we figured it out. And before that, hell, we was just killing for fun. But then, we noticed the change.
The power.
It's all right. I promise you, your death won't be a waste.
Really creepy, Vic, don't you think?
Yeah.
Hey, I don't write the stuff. I just, you know.
But you deliver.
Now, Victoria, if you had known ahead of time, would you have come up to me on the bridge? That's what I want to know.
I was sitting there listening to that, and I'm thinking, this sounds really, really creepy. What is going on? But, Michael, before the clip came up, I was, of course, Googling you and, you know, looking at your Facebook webpage, and you were born and raised, born in Westminster, Maryland, and that whole area is a part of Maryland that I know very well. I used to be a television reporter, news anchor in Baltimore at WMAR right on York Road. So what was your experience like living in that area? Do you have happy memories of that?
It's a great question, yeah. I'm sure they miss you in Baltimore, too. I was watching your stuff online as well. Very, very good. Yeah, Central Maryland, I think, is, you know, a great place to grow up. You know, for us, when you're not out in Westminster, as you know, you're sort of about an hour northwest of Baltimore, maybe an hour and a half north of D.C., relatively close to the PA line. So once you get to that part of Maryland, you almost sort of feel more part of the central PA culture as opposed to, you know, more urban Maryland. It was a great place to grow up, a fairly small farm community that, you know, once they got an interstate, kind of grew up pretty fast. But, you know, fantastic. All our field trips were to Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, which I still have is a very special place to me. I can go up to a little round top and just sit and meditate. It's a great, great place up there. But beautiful area, really great people, and I miss it, you know. I need to get back and see it sometime soon.
Oh.
Yeah, Michael, we're running out of time here. Let's go ahead and simply, I want to mention really quickly, Jonas, you played with them from Silver Springs, Maryland, which I find, I love that area as well, but you opened up for Hootie, correct?
Yeah, we actually were really fortunate to tour with Hootie quite a bit several years ago when they were still plugging away before Darius' solo career went crazy. Good for him, for sure. But, yeah, no, guys doing great. Yeah, we toured the Midwest, got to play all kinds of great venues with them. We played First Avenue in Minneapolis with them, where Purple Rain, I believe, was the concert footage was shot. Got to play Taste of Chicago, probably about 30,000 people with that. You know, it was a great time, and really great memories of that. And those guys are a class act. They were nothing but great to us on the road, and did everything they could to make us at home and introduce us to their audience, which is a very generous thing that not all rock bands are willing to do.
Right. You can find Michael Albin at on Reverb Nation, as well as, where else can we find you, actually, Michael?
Well, you can go to my website, which is www.michaelalban.net. That's M-I-C-H-A-E-L-A-L-B-A-N. And, of course, Reverb Nation that you mentioned. I am on Facebook. I have a fan page on Facebook, Michael J. Albin, middle initial J.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, the Reverb Nation also has a J, too, Michael J. Albin. And I'm trying to think where else. I'm drawing a blank, but I'm out there. You start at the
well, you know what I
lead you wherever you want to go.
Michael K., you know what I was thinking, that when we're done with the show, if possible, you need to connect him via Facebook with Richard Sims, because Richard may be interested. Yeah, Richard may be interested in doing some articles on you, you know, because of all the work and the music and stuff that that you've been doing. One thing you'll notice when you come on At Home with Victoria with Michael and I, we really pride ourselves on acting like we're like a big family. So we love connecting folks and doing all that good stuff. So, Michael, you've got to make sure you connect those two, because I can kind of see that Richard may be interested in getting you, you know, to do some things and, you know, getting you in print on his publications as well.
Oh, absolutely, already done. And Michael, seriously, you have to understand that once you're at home with Victoria, your home is always here. So I want to go ahead and thank you so much for joining us. And may I just have a general shout out to the world. If you see a strange man with an orange backpack and a camera, always approach him. Always approach him. You never know. You never know who you just may meet. Michael Albin is a fantastic person. You can go ahead and check him out at michaelalbin.net. Michael, thank you so much for joining us tonight. We enjoy your music so very, very much, and looking forward to new projects that you're going to be in.
Great pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me, guys.
Take care.
Thank you so much. And again, everybody, check out Michael Albin on Facebook. He's also on Reverb Nation. And, you know, just follow his career. Michael and I will continue to follow him. So, you know, we'll definitely hit him up from time to time when he's got new projects that he's working on. We will email and say, hey, you need to come back on At Home with Victoria, because you guys know we love doing follow-up with guests that are on our show. But, Michael, a great lineup, as always. You had Sarah, who talked about dating and finally was able to seek and get love in her life. We also had Richard Sims, who is in the world of soaps and series on the website and all of that stuff. And then we had a little music and great story and actor Michael Albin, who was on. A wonderful lineup tonight.
Thank you so much. Want to make a quick mention to the chat room. Want to thank all the brand new guests, as well as my call off my brother from another mother. And tune in tomorrow, which is Richard Sims right there, guest 3633, guest 3735. Thank you for joining At Home with Victoria for another, I think, great episode. I love meeting new people, and it's always so weird. So we're going to end with a little bit more music from Michael Albin. This is Michael Albin with Jacob. Victoria, thank you so much. And thanks for the trip and the tour in Arlington, D.C. That will forever remain a very tender part of my heart. So from me to you,
absolutely,
Thank you a lot.
Absolutely.
Good night, everybody.
Jacob walked away from the car, threw his coat to the curb in the sky. Open wide, couldn't hide from flowers for mother, kisses for lover, chocolates for Sally, handshakes for daddy. And now he flies as he falls away. And now he flies to another place. Firefly.
been listening to At Home with Victoria, an interactive news and entertainment show on the Blog Talk Radio Network. Download us on iTunes as a free podcast and like us on Facebook. I'm Shelly Rand, musician and announcer for At Home with Victoria. Download my CD on iTunes and Amazon and friend me on Facebook.